Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, Joe? All right, this from the Washington Post. I think others have reported on this too, but I'm going to read from the Washington Post in the story that Jenny Gathright wrote over the weekend, a story titled, DC Council Members Say Stadium Approval is Likely, but they need more time. And the mayor doesn't want to give them more time. But she says it's because the team is upset. Here's the first paragraph or two. D.C. council members are working toward approving a football stadium for the Washington Commanders at the shuttered RFK Stadium site, but probably not by Mayor Muriel Bowser's July deadline, several lawmakers said this week. The prospect of the council delaying a vote on the $3.7 billion deal has the team, quote, outraged, closed quote, Bowser said this week, and quote, sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table and $2.7 billion in private investment, closed quote. Bowser has wanted the council to approve the deal with the Commanders as part of the council's fiscal year 2026 budget process, and the commander said this week that any delay beyond that threatens the team's construction timeline. Council members argue that it's only fair that they take more time to consider a deal that involves more than $1 billion in taxpayer funds, especially since they said they still lacked key information, such as a full explanation of the Bowser administration's revenue projections for the project and an analysis of how much the proposed tax exemptions for the Commanders will cost the city. So this is something that now should be frustrating to everybody. It was April 28th that they held this press conference, which felt very much like a victory celebration. But we had Phil Mendelson on shortly after that, and he said it's far from that. In fact, it's very premature, and they needed a lot more information before they could vote on it. And since that, few day period in late April, early May, we've seen some stories. It's now June 16th. We are about a week and a half away from the 2 month mark from this announcement. Hey, people, get to work. Hammer this thing out. Close the doors until the mayor gives you all the information and you digest all the information and can vote on it. There's a quote in here from one of the at-large council members. Let me find it. Essentially saying that the team's not going to do anything. They're fine. You know, they're fine if this gets delayed. We've talked to the team. They're okay. Well, the mayor describes the team as being outraged. and that this delay, if they don't vote on the RFK part of the 2026 budget, because there's talk about voting for the budget itself within the time frame, but then separating out the RFK piece to be determined over a couple of months. This is what Christina Henderson said. She is an independent at large on the council. The mayor thinks that her deal is perfect, and that's great for her. I feel like there are areas where we can certainly improve. We'll do it. God, sometimes people in these positions, God, if this were, so many of you know this, right? You got a big client. They're hanging on a proposal. They've asked you to go back and rework the proposal a little bit, but they're on a timeline. They got to pick somebody to handle it for them. And you're in there, sun up to sundown, weekends, weekdays, doesn't matter, until you figure it out. Not every walk of life appears to operate under that premise, under those rules. Like, hey, we're here to get it done and get it done quickly. Vacations be damned. Floating holidays be damned. Two-hour lunch breaks be damned. And I'll tell you what, guys like Josh Harris and Mark Ein and Mitch Rales, they're probably back there going, you've got to be kidding me. We're coming up on 2 months and they don't have what they need to make a decision and vote? We would have had this thing done in a weekend. Yeah, it's frustrating. I can only imagine. And look, I'm not suggesting it's all on the council. They say that they don't have all the information they need. Well, get them the information, lock yourselves in a room for a weekend, and get it done. You know, the team at this point, look, we all know they want DC. We know they want RFK. But they need to start the process. The construction needs to begin. They want to be there in 2030. They want to have a chance to have the 2031 FIFA Women's World Cup be played in their new stadium. You can't commit to that unless you know you are going to have the stadium done. I don't know. I hate to, you know, put it in these terms, but sometimes government is just slow and just not anywhere near sort of the same level of urgency that many of you would be forced to work under in this situation. It's been since April 28th. Figure it out, people. How do you get to the point where either the council doesn't have all the information they've asked for, or the council hasn't gotten around to digesting it enough and understanding it enough to vote on it? You know, if they don't make this a part of the vote and they try to push it off and just think, oh, you know, guys, they want DC. They want RFK. You know, on some level, even though I want RFK and we all want RFK, I mean, at that point, Josh Harris and company should immediately head back to Maryland and start negotiations with Maryland. Put the pressure on DC. I don't know if they'd even understand it or feel it, but you got July 15th is a deadline. Voting on the deal by July 15th is something that Bowser negotiated with the team. That was part of the term sheet between the two parties. July 15th is the deadline for a council vote. And that deal says the team would no longer exclusively negotiate with the city if the council did not vote on the deal by then, or if the council materially changed the deal's terms. Now, we know we had Phil Mendelson on the show, you know, a couple of days after the April 28th press conference. And, you know, I'm all for the council trying to get an even better deal for the citizens of the District of Columbia, of which I am one. Go ahead, see what you can, you know, get done. See if you can haggle, you know, a few extra dollars, a few extra things that benefit the city from this deal. And it certainly sounded like there were conversations between the team and members of the city council. But, you know, there are businesses, many of you are working in currently, and I guarantee you Josh Harris, Mark Ein, and Mitch Rales have been a part of, and many on that limited partner group, ownership group, where they're just like, good God, can you guys lock yourselves in a room and get this done? we'd have had this thing wrapped up in 48 hours. But it's not necessarily the pace in which sometimes you get government to work at. Let's hope it works out. But it certainly, look, I'd still wager that it will get done, but maybe it's going to have to get done with a little bit of, you know, forced leverage by the team. Like going back to Maryland after July 15th, if it doesn't get voted on by then. We'll see. Hopefully they get it together. I mean, July 15th is a month from now. They still have a month to get all the information they need so that they can vote on this thing. I mean, 4 full weeks, okay? People can be on vacation. You can Zoom. You can send them the information. You can have conversations to figure it out. Oh, man. They'd lose a lot of valuable clients operating this way. All right. We'll get to some football discussion next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, so that period of post-draft, post-free agency, and post-team workouts, mini-camps, OTAs. And now we're in that five-week period before training camp begins. We have had an off-season, and we can start to guess on a few things. I think it's pretty dangerous to guess on anything or be really conclusive about anything. If you've followed the NFL for as long as most of us have, you understand that you probably don't have an understanding of what players are or what teams are this time of year, but I'm going to take a shot at it anyway. I'm going to give you a couple of things that I think we know about this team heading into 2025. That would be the Commanders. And I'm going to give you a couple of things that I think we are unsure of at this point heading into 2025. Let's start with the positive. You know, what do we know about this team? And I'm talking about, you know, obvious things that, you know, aren't really that debatable. You know, we know that this team has a really good quarterback. We know that. They got a really good quarterback in Jaden Daniels. I also think we know that this team has a really good coaching staff. You know, a really good head coach. You know, elite level, who knows, but really good. Very good coordinator, certainly on the offensive side. And then when it comes to kind of the personnel, I think we certainly have a sense right now that offensive line is improved, that the O-line's got a chance to be an improved area of the team. They obviously traded for Laremy Tunsil, one of the best pass-blocking left tackles in the game, one of the best all-around left tackles in the game, period. They drafted a guy that we've heard very good things about so far. Doesn't mean it'll hold up when the real games begin. But drafting Josh Connerly Jr. gives them a chance to open up the season with two totally different tackles. A left tackle in Tunsil, a right tackle in Connerly Jr. And by the way, a move of Brandon Coleman to left guard, taking over eventually when Cosmi comes back for Nick Allegretti, who struggled at times last year, you know, especially pass blocking wise. So I do think what we know about this team now entering this 6 weeks of quiet, 5 weeks of quiet before training camp begins and before we get into, you know, the countdown to the first preseason game. Got a quarterback. We knew that. Have a coaching staff that's pretty solid. We've known that. The offensive line should be better. It should be not only better, it should be pretty good. You know, it should be massively improved. They have an elite left tackle. They have a right tackle that they think has a chance to be really good. He's a rookie, so it may take time. And they've shifted around some things to maybe cover up a weakness in Allegretti that they may be moving on from, you know, once 2025 is in the books. So I think we know that the O-line is improved and should be better. We also know that they are bigger on defense up front. I don't know how that manifests itself. We don't know the answer to that. But we do know that they made a conscious effort to go out and get bigger people on defense up front. Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman. And then, you know, combined with what they hope they have coming back in Jerron Payne, who they spoke very highly of early in the minicamp in the OTA period, they wanted to get bigger because the bully in the division and the bully in the conference is massive, big, massively big and very physical up front, the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, they like to run the football with not just the best running back in the game, but they like to run it with their quarterback as well. And they do play and have resorted to bully ball at times against our team at various points during the three games that we played against Philadelphia last year. So one of the things we know is they made a conscious effort to get bigger on defense. And they did. They got bigger on defense up front. Lastly, things that we know is that they should be more talented at corner. You know, this was something Ben mentioned, you know, when he was on last week. He's like, look, just compare it to last year. You know, guys like Mike Davis and Benjamin St. Juste, et cetera, right? They added, you know, a guy in the second round of the draft in Trey Amos, who could have easily gone at some point in the first round. They added Jonathan Jones, a veteran corner. They brought back their best inside corner in Noah Igbinoghene. They've got Sanra still coming back, and of course, I think the big wild card here is Marshawn Lattimore, but they, you know, certainly have high hopes that that trade will end up working out. And that Lattimore, with a full offseason to get healthy, to get more acclimated to a new system, should provide them with Marshawn Lattimore-level play. Look, Sanra still and Noah I and Lattimore were here already. But adding Jonathan Jones and Trey Amos, and the early returns on Amos are, no one said they felt like they blew it. It's hard to tell. They just look better at corner on paper. That's what I would say we've learned. We've learned that they're probably better equipped to cover people this year with the corners they have on the roster versus the corners they had on their roster last year. So, what do we think we know heading into 2025? I think we know that they've got a top five-ish kind of a quarterback. They have a really good coaching staff, that the offensive line is improved and should be better. In fact, I think of the new things, that's what I would feel most confident about. That they made a conscious effort to get bigger on defense. They got bigger on defense. How that plays out in terms of production, time will tell, but they did get bigger up front on defense. And corner is a position that looks a lot better right now than it did a year ago. What are the things that we still don't know? Look, I'm not even going to partake in the conversation of, we don't know if Jaden will suffer a sophomore slump season. I mean, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't think he will. I think the odds, putting that onto a list of things that we don't know at this point, is really reaching. There are other things that are more obvious that we don't know. And it starts with big picture. We don't know if they've improved themselves defensively. We know that they need to improve defensively from where they were last year, but we don't know right now whether or not this will be an improved defense. I just said that they got bigger defensively, but we don't know that it manifests itself into better point of attack, better at taking on double teams, better at handling gaps, better at stopping runs, stopping the run, better at handling the run on the edges. You know, we're talking about C-gap and outside of that where they really got hurt last year. We don't know if they're better on defense overall. Specifically, we don't know if they've improved themselves as a run defense team. And there's so much that goes into that. So much that we don't even understand. Like the nuanced variability of defense year to year. There's no real obvious explanation for why a defense can be horrible one year and then the next year be massively improved without a lot of personnel changes. It happens. Without a coaching change, it happens. Defense is so much more variable year to year than offense. Bringing these guys back for year two in the same system may be the difference between being horrible, which they were last year, and being adequate, being average. If they had had an average run defense last year, may have made a difference. I mean, again, it's interesting the way the season played out. It's like, oh my God, they got run on again, but they won. They got run on again, but they won again. Well, we know how that was happening. That was happening with an offense and a quarterback that just would not let them lose, and they kept winning games. But ultimately, when you got to the game to get to the Super Bowl, on the first play from scrimmage, Saquon Barkley was off to the races 60 yards for a touchdown. And Philadelphia could have named their point total and yardage total in that game. They had 55 and close to 500 yards. They could have certainly, if they had needed it, gotten a lot more. Will Washington's offense end up being its best defense in 2025? That would be problematic, at least on paper, heading into the year because of the teams that they're playing and the quarterbacks they're playing and the opposing offenses that they will face. You know, you've got Jordan Love in week two. You have Justin Herbert in week five. You got Patrick Mahomes in week eight. You've got Jared Goff and the Lions in week 10. And the list keeps going on and on. You know, you've got a different setup this year. It could play out that they get good fortune and they catch teams at the right time and they catch teams that are down a few key players when they end up playing them. But what we don't know at this point, regardless of OTA days, minicamp days, a draft, free agency, we don't know if they got better on defense. I think they got bigger on defense. I think their corners certainly on paper look better on defense, but we don't know if they got better on defense. We don't know if this will be a better defensive team. By the way, it's very possible that they could end up being a better defensive team next year, but give up more or give up the same because of the competition level they're playing. Last year's best defense was their offense, the possession of the football, the not punting, the not turning it over, the scoring on most possessions. I mean, there was that stretch where they didn't punt for like 2.5 games, and they scored on almost every possession. Their fourth down percentage is staying super high, keeping possession of the ball. But to win the whole thing, I think we all feel, I do, like it's hard to overcome what they had last year to win another 12 in the regular season and then win three in the postseason to get there. Specifically, you know, run defense, and we certainly don't know if they're any better as a pass rush team. In fact, you could make the argument that they'll be a lesser pass rush team. By the way, I'm assuming that you guys saw some of the news from over the weekend in Cincinnati. Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals are starting to talk. Hendrickson's going to end up a Bengal, more likely than not, I would think. What else don't we know? Defense as a whole, specifically run defense, and by the way, the ability to rush the passer. We don't know if they got more dynamic offensively. We wanted more speed. We wanted more playmaking ability. We think that they got more dynamic by the addition of Deebo Samuel, but we can't be entirely sure because the last time we saw Deebo Samuel, he was not available, and when he was, he wasn't 100%. And look, the team around him had something to do with that. But one of the things we went into this offseason thinking they needed was another big-time playmaker to add an even more dynamic element to what has already become, under Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, etc., a dynamic offense. I don't know that for sure. I feel like Deebo in a contract year is going to be a major addition and is going to add another dynamic element. But we can't be sure of it. Lastly, even though they went out there and they signed a kicker that at times has been a decent kicker in Matt Gay, we don't know that the kicking situation for sure is going to be any better than it's been. Because Matt Gay, remember, last year ended up in Indianapolis, you know, missing six kicks of 50 or more yards on the season. He was very ineffective from long distance. So we'll see. They certainly wanted more stability at kicker. We had the whole situation of multiple kickers last year. They wanted stability. We'll see if they got it in Matt Gay. We don't know for sure. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We've now got the offseason in the books. Training camp is the next time this team will convene. It's the next time, more likely than not, we'll hear from coaches and players at the very end of July. We're into, you know, 12-week or less countdown to the regular season. It can't get here fast enough. We are now, you know, basically a month and a half away from their first preseason game and their first, you know, inter-team workouts with the New England Patriots in Foxborough. What do you think you know for sure, and what do you think you don't know that we still have to wait on, probably until games start to get played, to find out? Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can watch us on our 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
All right, yesterday, the Boston Red Sox made a blockbuster trade, sending third baseman Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for three pitchers, Kyle Harris, Jordan Hicks, and minor league pitcher Jose Bello. Also included in the deal was outfield prospect James Tibbs. The Red Sox sent Kyle Harrison down to AAA Wooster. J.J. Spaulding wins his first career major with a monster 64-foot putt after his soggy day at Oakmont. That's the longest putt made of the day. Spaulding wins the U.S. Open. Shohei Ohtani will make his pitching debut tonight versus the Padres, 21 months removed from his second UCL surgery. Ohtani will likely only pitch one or two innings tonight as a continuation of his rehab. And Joey Chestnut, the Glizzy Gobbler, returns to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest nearly 1 year removed from his Netflix head-to-head matchup versus Takeru Kobayashi. Joey Chestnut is looking to break his record of 76 hot dogs in just 10 minutes. The Nats have dropped 8 in a row following a sweep by the Miami Marlins. They take on the Rockies tonight on 106.7 The Fan. Nats on Deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. First pitch is at 6:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
So the offseason is over. I mean, there could still be, I guess, maneuvers, roster moves between now and the beginning of training camp. There might be. But for the most part, we know what we know now about the 2025 team heading into the season. Certainly when we get to final cuts, there could be cuts made and adds made. But we know what they did. We know what they were focused on. And so I'm asking you at 301-230-0980, what do you think you know about this team, and what do you think still needs to be figured out about this team? For me, I mean, we know that the quarterback situation is a really good situation. I think we know that the coaching situation is pretty damn good. Specific to the things that they worked on since, you know, the Philadelphia loss in the NFC title game, I think it's pretty obvious that the offensive line is improved and should be good. You know, the addition of Tunsil, the drafting of Connerly Jr., which we don't know a lot about at this point, you know, just because he was taken in the first round and just because nice things have been said about him as of now, there's no knowing for sure until the games start. But Tunsil, Connerly Jr., moving Coleman inside, replacing Allegretti eventually, depending on when Cosmi is available. The O-line, I think we know, is improved and should be a lot better than it was. We know that they're bigger up front defensively. The additions of Kinlaw and Goldman and Wise, and they're bigger. They wanted to, there was a conscious effort to get bigger up front, probably with the idea of being better against the run. You know, most of the gashing took place on the edges, you know, outside the interior. But they got bigger. We know that on defense. And I think that the additions of Amos, certainly the addition of Jonathan Jones, a veteran player, that they're probably better at corner going into this season than they were last year. That's what I would say we know. All right, five things. Quarterback's really good. Coaches are pretty damn good. O-line improved, should be better. Bigger on defense, and corner looks better. What don't we know at this point? There's still a lot. We don't know if this team has improved defensively. Just because they got bigger doesn't mean we know for sure that they improved. Specific to improvement defensively is, are they going to be better as a run-stopping team? Because they need to be. Are they going to be able to rush the passer? They lost their number one pass rusher sack-wise in Dante Fowler Jr. I would also, and I didn't say this in the first segment, I forgot to, but is Will Harris for, you know, Jeremy Chinn, is it a net plus, net minus, or net, you know, equal? We don't know until they start playing games. I don't think we know if they're more dynamic offensively. I have a gut feel that they will be. Year two in the system, more Cliff Kingsbury creativity with a second-year quarterback, and, of course, the addition of Deebo Samuel. And then I threw in at the very end, you know, this was a team that had four different kickers last year. Austin Seibert, Zane Gonzalez, Greg Joseph kicked in a game. Cade York kicked in a game. Did they find stability at kicker with the signing of Matt Gay? We don't know for sure. We hope that that's the case, but we don't know for sure. 301-230-0980. What do you know heading into the next time we see them together? And what don't you think you know at this point? Let's start with our guy, Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Hail to the W. Shit, what's going on, big guy?
What's up, Paulie? Where you been?
Hey, man. I've been out here, man. Happy Father's Day to you, man. Happy belated Father's Day to you, man.
You too.
Hey, yeah. But I'm going to say this. You know, you said a lot of good things. I'm going to tell you what I know is that this team is going to be physical. You know, we're going to be a physical team. Defensive-wise, and they're going to be prepared. That's one thing I felt last year, week in and week out, we was prepared to play. You know, whether that's the way we attacked or even you talk about the run defense, but in the second half, they did a good job with adjustments and slowing down the bleeding. And I think we finished, like, what, 18th in total defense or whatever? So,
we gave up
a lot on the running game,
total defense? Like total defense? Oh, yeah. Run defense was 24th or 25th, right?
Yeah. So my point is that they did a good job with making adjustments in the second half. And, you know, we were famous for adjustments under Joe Gibbs, and we hear about this of every coach after Joe Gibbs that we didn't make adjustments. So this team did a good job of making adjustments in the second half last year. What we don't know, what I don't know, honestly, is about the running game, all right? Because it's going to take time for that line to gel. We got a couple new parts in there. So the line is not going to be as good in week one as it's going to be in week five or six. And also, our running game was kind of, you know, everybody would put it on B-Rob, but I think our running game was kind of predictable last year. And it's okay to be predictable if you have a physical style of running game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call our running game physical, you know? So I think I'm curious to see what Kingsbury is going to draw up this year as far as, are we going to do more under center runs or is it going to be more play action? Or I'm just curious to see how they're going to attack this running game this year. Because I don't think it was all the running backs. I think some of it had to do with the scheme also. So I think,
well, and maybe some of it had to do with the offensive line, which has improved. By the way, the DVOA final numbers,
right.
Washington finished 23rd overall defensively, 26th in the league against the run. Just wanted to, you know.
Okay, so the last bottom half of the league is the run. I mean, in defense, 23rd,
32nd. Bottom quarter.
Bottom fifth. Yeah, so that would be my thing is the offensive scheme. Because teams are going to watch that film. They can see, you know, we heard it early and often last year about the college offense. So teams are going to be ready. So I want to see the adjustments. I don't know about the adjustments of Kingsbury offense. And I'm pretty sure he has some things in mind, but I don't want to be gimmicky. You know, if we're going to be predictable, you know, let's be more physical style of offense.
Well, I don't think – look, pace was a big part of what they did last year. Thanks, as always, Paulie. Pace was a big part of their offensive attack last year. You know, tempo, we'll see, up-tempo. I don't know why they would change from that. You know, college offense descriptions are really outdated. So many teams have college offense, if you want to call that, elements to their offense. And that's been the case now, you know, coming up on 15 years almost. I don't really distinguish between college elements and pro elements. I mean, the college elements have become pro elements over the years. We see dual threat quarterbacks throughout the league. We see, you know, zone read as a part of offense. We see RPO as a part of the offense. We see the blended, you know, read option and RPO now as a part of the offense. You know, it's a little bit different at the pro levels we've talked about before than it is at the college level for a lot of reasons. Rule wise, you know, 1 yard versus 3 yards before you have ineligible downfield for linemen and hashes. I mean, the college game is different because of the hash marks. But I feel comfortable heading into next year that quarterback and coordinator are going to be and are going to stay, you know, a half step to a step ahead of their defensive counterparts. I would like to see this team become a team that can run the football when it has to with others rather than just the quarterback. I think that that's high risk. It's not that I would ever consider Jaden Daniels to be a quarterback that you don't run. Of course, he's going to be a part of your running game, but he can't lead the team in rushing and in rushing attempts in 10 out of the, you know, last year they ended up playing 20 games. You've got to have a different way of pounding the ball, possessing the ball with your rushing offense rather than just running your quarterback. That's going to be a big thing. And I could have thrown that into the I don't know category, and I probably should have, because there's nothing that they've done other than improve the offensive line, which is a big deal, that should guarantee that they're going to be a much better overall, not just quarterback, rush offense in 2025. 301-230-0980. We've got a line open if you want to weigh in. What do you think you know about this team now that all of the off-season stuff for the most part has been completed? We won't see this team together again until the beginning of training camp. What do you think you know? What are you confident about? And what do you still need to learn heading into 2025? Billy and Chantilly, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning.
What's up, Billy?
What I would say is you've got the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. That's what I know. The other thing that I definitely know is that wide receivers in the NFL are prima donnas. That is loaded with prima donnas. And we have a warrior guy in Terry who's as tough and as playmaking as any of the other guys in the NFL. And I know he's not matching on that class 1A level, but he's a 1B. And I'd make him the highest paid wide receiver in the league right now. I just put it out there, make him the highest paid receiver.
You can't do that. He's going to be 30 years old.
You set the standard for what your expectations are for the wide receiver position at this football team. Because the one thing that I would worry about with Jaden, and there's very few, besides getting nicked up, is you get some prima donna wide receiver in here that complains about not getting the ball enough, and nothing would ruin the culture faster at football team than getting
a prima
donna wide receiver.
You know what's interesting, Billy, and keep Billy on the phone line. I'll come back to you here in a minute. You know, when you look at the best receivers in the game, there are actually several that have, you know, a similar personality like Terry. Justin Jefferson's not a problem at all. You know, Puka Nacua is not a problem at all. Mike Evans really isn't a problem at all. There are other guys in the league that are elite level, high level wide receivers. Terry's not the only anti-diva wide receiver in the game. The stereotype of the position is that they're all, if you don't get me the ball, I'm going to disrupt the entire, you know, locker room. And they're not all that way. Some are, no doubt, some are. You know, A.J. Brown can be a problem. CeeDee Lamb's been a problem. Tariq Hill has been a problem. I'm sure I'm forgetting some obvious ones here. But a lot of them aren't, interestingly, when you look at that list. But go ahead, Billy, finish up.
None of those guys have won anything, though. Terry got us all the way to the championship game.
Uh-huh. Right.
I don't want any prima donna receivers.
Puka Nacua, didn't Nacua win a Super Bowl or not?
Didn't A.J. Brown win a Super
No.
Bowl?
No.
I didn't mention A.J. Brown in the non-diva
true.
Wide receivers. Non-diva.
He's reading books on the sidelines. I'll do without a guy reading books on the sidelines. Thanks.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the culture's good. The other thing I don't know, I'd make.
Didn't Mike Evans win a Super Bowl?
That's what I do.
I think Mike Evans won a Super Bowl.
Or did?
Yeah.
Mike Evans did not win a Super Bowl.
Yes, he did, with Tom Brady.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Billy, you're great because you never let the facts get in the way of your very, very definitive stories. What?
Opinions. These are my opinions. Okay. Make him the highest paid receiver. That's all. Set the standard for the culture. And then the other thing is, I don't know what the culture is going to be. I look really freaking finally after two plus decades looking forward to football season.
Yeah. I don't know. Last year I was really looking forward to it as well. I couldn't wait to see what five
not
would
as
do.
Much as this
obviously
year you
did not disappoint. Thank you, Billy.
Not as much.
Appreciate
as this
it. Year I were. You cannot and they won't. And this is part of the rub right now, is you're not gonna make Terry the highest paid receiver in the game. That means just over $40 million a year, because that's what Ja'Marr Chase got paid. No, that's not happening with Terry. And I do think that we'll get a deal done between now and the beginning of camp. I haven't come off that. I think it's fair to say that a lot of the discussion and even the reporting about there being some level of, you know, angst, of, you know, confrontation, of frustration is probably fair at this point. And I think it deals probably with age and where Terry kind of believes he is. But no, Ja'Marr Chase makes $40 million a year. You're not paying Terry McLaurin, entering his early 30s, $40 million a year. I think it will fall in that $30 million per year category. I think that's exactly where we're going to end up. Somewhere around $30 million per year, you know, somewhere in that, you know, 90 to buck 10, buck 20, an aggregate 70, something like that, guaranteed. You know, people have pointed to the Ayuk deal. They pointed to the DK Metcalf deal. You know, I think a little bit less than Metcalf and maybe a little bit more than Ayuk, something like that, when all is said and done on deals. Yeah, it's interesting to just kind of look at the roster. I do think that there is an element of, you know, the conversation this time of year of, you know, what do we know? What don't we know? The thing that we know for sure more than anything else, and it's not even close, there's not a close second, is we know that they've got a very, very talented, competitive, winning quarterback. That's what they have. That's if you only wanted to know one thing about your football team entering a season, that would be the one thing to know. And that's the best news that we've had entering a season, the best sort of overall disposition we've had for years, and it's because of him, you know. And those that want to say premature, what are you talking about, you can't make a guy after a rookie year top five quarterback, you must not have watched closely enough. He literally carried the football team last year to 14 wins. They were good in areas. Terry was sensational. You know, Zach Ertz came up big in a lot of games. You know, you had a couple of outstanding defensive performers, even though the defense wasn't good, in Luvu and in Wagner, for sure. Sanders still was outstanding as a rookie. You know, you had, you know, moments from other guys offensively. Certainly, De'Ami Brown had some moments. You don't have him back. You know, Eckler, I thought, when they were really humming offensively, I thought it was when Eckler was healthy earlier in the season. But there isn't anything that we know more about this football team than really two things. One, Dan's not there anymore and ownership is better. But two, they have a high-level, talent-wise, skill-wise, competitive-level-wise, work ethic-wise, team character-wise quarterback. It's an amazing thing to say, but we know we have that going into his second year. And so it's incumbent upon front office to build around that and for the coaching staff to coach up around that to create a team that is legitimately a Super Bowl contender, because they have a quarterback that should be leading a Super Bowl contending team. All right, when we come back, there was some interesting Nats developments over the weekend. Root Cause, the manager, and some of the things he said about the team's effort here during a now 8-game losing skid. Andrew Golden covers the Nats for the Washington Post. He'll join us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.